Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Rocky and Creed in Review. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle himself, Andy Cortez.
Hello, everybody.
The producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
I want to be the greatest one day at something. I just don't know what.
I want to find out really desperately. And joining us as well, the one and only Sancho West.
Gentlemen, one review at a time, you know, one podcast within a podcast at a time. We got Creed 2, baby.
Creed 2, baby. One more to go, right? This is the last movie that's officially out. The next time, next week, we'll be back with Creed 3, giving our thoughts on that, on the major watch. Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah,
on the major watch.
Overwatch.
Yeah. We'll have to see how that all goes. But then eventually we will return. We will return because apparently there is a Drago spinoff happening. So they announced that in 2022. So we'll see if it actually ends up happening. But
I take back the Overwatching because there's no Jonathan Majors anywhere present in the word Overwatch.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh God,
you said it. I looked at you. Yeah. I was like, I'm with you, but I don't know what it is. But then I'm also used to that because I normally don't get.
Yeah, I'm used to Nick. Nick will include a word in a pun, but then change that pun to something else to where the original word is now absent. So you kind of lose the thread of it. Yeah, we'll think of a major watch. What else was it? We were doing a...
At one point, someone said Potts today. I said Annie Potts, Little Orphan Annie. And people were like, we're so far off the mark. We're just gone. Where are we?
Where are we? We are here on YouTube.com/KindaFunny. That's where you can watch every episode of In Review. You can also check out RoosterTeeth.com if video is the way that you like to consume. But guess what? If you want things straight in your ear holes, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny In Review, and we'll be right there for you. If there's a franchise that you love or hate, chances are we have watched, recapped, and reviewed it. You should, every once in a while, the music throws me off. You know what I mean? That was one of those times I was just like, I'm not here. It's Friday, y'all. It's been a very long week, and I appreciate your patience with us this entire time. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free and watch it live as we record it. You can also get a whole bunch of fun bonus content. Today we're brought to you by HelloFresh. I'll tell you about that later. But you know who won't have to hear those ads? Our beautiful Patreon producers, Trent Berry, James Hastings, Colin Huguenel, Casey Andrew, and Nathan Lamothe. Thank you all so very much for your support. But today, we're talking about Creed, Roman numeral 2, released on November 21st, 2018. Creedy. Yeah. November 21st, 2018. We saw this in theaters together.
We did.
With Yusuf.
Yes.
Yusuf Magid. And yeah. This was like, I mean, he's always been jacked. Like, I'm pretty sure he came out the womb just like, ugh.
Just lifting,
but deadlifting. This movie, I feel like, changed him.
It certainly inspired him to, like, get a little bit more cut, if that was even possible. I mean, we had talked a long time ago about just sort of, like, the physiques in these movies and how much energy it takes to get there. And I think he got inspired one way. I got kind of inspired the other way. Right, where he was inspired to go work out harder and like diet better and like, you know, really work on his physique and his abs.
I took the Sylvester Stallone approach.
I just did the opposite. I just did nothing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went the other way with it.
I'm pretty good at knowing like what type of body you get after spicy nugs, because we had a lot of good spicy nugs from Jack in the Box today.
We did. It's not a good body.
It's a good body.
I love it.
This one had a runtime of 2 hours and 10 minutes. It was directed by Stephen Caple Jr. Sylvester Stallone backed out of directing this film, so they had to get the backup, which was Stephen. Originally, we were going to get an entire trilogy from, oh my God, I'm blanking, Black Panther's
Ryan Coogler.
Was going to do a trilogy, but then because of Black Panther, couldn't do that. So then it went to Sylvester Stallone. He ended up backing out. So then it went to Stephen Caple Jr., who in 2017, Forbes named one of the 30 under 30. So you know what? We have something in common. We have another thing in common. He's directing Transformers Rise of the Beasts, the 7th live-action Transformers film.
Oh, God bless.
I'm not doing that, but I'm a fan of Transformers. So we have that.
Same person.
A lot of connections.
I'm hopeful for that.
You're basically the same people, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. The music was once again done by Ludwig Göransson. That's the music, everybody. Budget $50 million. Box office of $214 million. Nick Scarpino.
Yeah.
I want to start with you.
Yeah.
What did you think of Creed 2 on your second viewing ever?
This is my second viewing ever. And I'm surprised how much I like this movie.
Surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I guess surprise is the wrong word. I'm delighted by how much I like this movie in theaters. And then the second time watching it, I found it very interesting. I think that it's got a little bit more depth as far as the character arcs are concerned. And it does something that I really just appreciate, which is that it kind of humanizes Victor, which is not, you don't get the antagonist a lot. You don't get to see his journey a lot. But I think, you know, we think fondly back of the movies we liked the most, it was the ones where we really got to know Creed and really got to know what he was all about and kind of saw it from his perspective. And I think Victor is a very tragic character, and he's kind of haunted by his father's past. He's haunted by the fact that his mother left him and then comes back and then leaves him again. And I think that there's something there. There's something there of interest to me. Like, you know, when you start the movie off, you're seeing him sort of just sort of as this one-dimensional thing, and it's not until we get to that dinner where he goes, like, you kind of see the struggle he's been through and sort of the pain he's been through kind of living in this shadow and having been pushed this hard by his father, who by the end of the movie kind of realizes what he's been doing to his son. Not only that, but I think I just find the story of someone who has gotten to the top and is struggling to deal with what that means a little bit more fascinating than the tried and true story of getting to the top. I like where we find Donnie in this. I like where he's just like, I don't feel like the champ. I don't feel like these things. And I like that one discussion he has with his mother, with Felicia Rashad in the kitchen, where he's like, I just don't feel like the champ. She goes, if your father were here, he would tell you he didn't either. You never feel like you're the champ. You always feel like you're chasing this legacy. And how much that has sort of like messed with his head. I just think it's really cool. It's a cool space for the writers to play in. And I think Michael B. Jordan gets a little bit more to work with as far as the script is concerned and his character is concerned in this. And I think he has some really, really standout moments. And then the supporting cast is great. Rocky's great as well. I like this movie a lot.
Sancho.
Dude, like when we played Call of Duty yesterday and you're like, Sancho, I cannot wait to talk to you about this movie. This was Nick. And I was like, dude, same. I echo literally everything you just said. There's the thing about this movie that works really well is the hiccups that I had with the first Creed. It was Michael B. Jordan is so much more interesting. He has so much more to do. The cast of characters still remain the same. I think what was the biggest flaw in Creed 1 was that I didn't really care about his opponents, and that is a big component of Rocky, is the antagonist. Those are the most important things that we get. That's why we love Creed so much. And then for them to dip back into Drago, I remember after, you know, Creed 2, this is my second time as well, and I was really worried because I remember I didn't like it the first time I saw it. And I think it's because I wasn't really like intimately trying to follow the story versus like it's just accepting it as a Rocky movie. Instead, it's more of a character study of Creed himself. And that is why I enjoyed this so much more. It's so much more better than the second one. Now, I don't know where I would rank it amongst all the Rockies yet. I have an idea, but I want to save that for the end. You know, we got to get that runtime going. But I definitely enjoyed it. There's something special that I think about when you, I don't know, you fellas out there or anyone who watches movies, sometimes your significant other just doesn't want to watch a movie. You have to watch it like at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. sometimes to get it in, yeah. Right? So I'm sitting there when I watched it two nights ago, and I'm literally bawling and crying at some moments, and I'm getting hyped at some moments at the right moments. And that is something that Rocky Balboa did during this interview process. And I echoed the same thing, very delighted, very surprised. And very shocked at how much impact this movie does, despite following a semi-different formula than most Rockies follow. You know, it did the Rocky III thing where it had two big fights into it. Actually, had three fights, but having a back-to-back fight. And I love the wrestling part of it as well, where we let Creed keep the belt and then go up against Drago again. And I love that notion that he has imposter syndrome. And I love that notion as well, that there's a thing in wrestling, when I wrap this up, is some people are better at chasing belts and some people are better champions because it's much more intriguing to watch. And like Nick said, Michael B. Jordan as champion who doesn't believe himself was much more interesting to watch than an echo of Rocky Balboa, the underdog. And the last thing I want to say is Stallone is just phenomenal. And that sweet, it was a bittersweet moment of him sitting on the side of the ring, just like he's sitting in front of Adrian's gravestone.
I love it.
And I was just like, when did this happen? Did they added this in this movie? Because I did not remember.
The same thought. Dude, I was like, I don't remember that.
This is so poetic and so beautiful. And he's like, no, it's your turn, kid. And or something like that. And it's so like, if this is the end of Rocky, which we know because We, you know, there's so much things with Creed 3, but if this is the last thing I would see Rocky in, I'd be okay with it. And for that, it's definitely better than Creed 1 by a mile, in my opinion.
Andy Cortez.
Yeah, I'm totally with Sancho. I think this movie blew me away. After being kind of fairly into Creed 1 and having some issues with it, I found myself just thoroughly entertained by all this. I think the two fights, the second and third fight in this movie, are better than any other fight in any other Rocky movie, like, ever. Like, throughout all this interview, the second fight where he retains the title because of the disqualification, and the final fight, I think they're just framed so amazingly. We get Max Kellerman on the call doing a great job, but also just like all of the dramatic moments that we were kind of wanting from the other Rocky movies, with having like seeing the ringside, seeing his corner being like, now do this, and then that thing happens, and then that thing maybe doesn't work because the other guy outsmarts him. Like, that chess game is just so fascinating to watch. I do feel like the daughter's death story feels like it could have been a part that you maybe found out was cut later. Like, oh, did you know the daughter's supposed to be deaf in the movie, but they cut that storyline out. That felt like an extra thing that I didn't necessarily need, because I already had enough drama of a person who grew up without his father trying to deal with his child and trying to be that while struggling with it in a lot of different ways. I feel like the daughter being having a sort of loss of hearing as well was kind of like an added thing that I didn't necessarily hate. It's kind of like the Rocky cancer story in part one. It's like, I didn't need this, but it's here, and I guess I just have to kind of be okay with it. But I would have preferred it not being there. It just felt like kind of an extra obstacle, even though it felt like there was already enough for these characters to deal with. Stallone is fucking phenomenal in this movie. I love the emotion that Michael B. Jordan shows when he's on the hospital bed. It reminded me a lot of Jesse Pinkman in the hospital when Walt goes to go visit him, and he's like, get the fuck out, why are you here? You know, like, that, God, it was so powerful. This movie's fucking great. It's probably going to be my number one. I just think it succeeds all the way through. And yeah, I thought it was awesome.
I really love this movie. It is such a fun watch. I can find myself watching this movie over and over and over again. I'm surprised I haven't since I first saw it in theaters. This is my second time seeing it. But it's just such a blast. There's just so many memorable moments, so many things that I've wanted from the Rocky movie since we first started this, of like the hype entrances and like the cool choreography and cinematography for the fights. And I just think that this movie kind of like achieved all those things. Like, it's a lot of check boxes are checked off here. I think Creed 1 is a better movie, but I like this one more. Like, this one definitely just has more of the things that I care about when it comes to this type of spectacle, specifically sport movie. But I just think they made a lot of really, really great calls. I love bringing back Drago. And the other thing for me is I'm in a fairly unique position here, having seen Creed 1 and 2, not seen any of the Rockies, now doing all this, having the backstory of all the Rockies, specifically 4, obviously, and even some elements of 6 with his son. I was so much more impressed with Creed 2 this time than the first time because of those connections. I think that Creed 1 works really, really, really well, like perfectly without having any history of Rocky. Like, it's okay. This one, I think, is very enhanced by knowing all the intricacies and stuff. And I'm with you that some of the storylines, specifically the kid storyline, is a little bit weaker compared to the other things, but I enjoy it because I like that this, it's a part of a saga. They know that this is the, is this the 9th movie in this, I guess? Or is, yeah, the, is Creed 3 the 9th?
8, I think.
This is 8, eight then. But like, we know there's going to be more. There probably is going to be more after Creed 3 as well, even in the Creed universe. So I like setting up the the family elements, and like, there is other things that they can kind of pull into, just like we saw Rocky do for generations, decades of movies. But there is just nothing more hype than the final fight in this. When they come out and that laser shit's going around, dude, we get, oh my God. It is just like every moment of it is just, it is pure visual goodness.
I have two minor critiques of this movie. One is, didn't love the montage area when he goes out of the desert. I thought they could have put a few things extra in there. Like, you know, we get the hype of the other montages where it's like, I'm Apollo Creed, I'm coming here to train you, and we're going to do that now. It could have been a little bit better. But my big criticism of this movie is that it makes all the entrances from all the other movies look weak as shit.
As shit.
No
when he comes in to Icon, it is the sickest thing I've ever. And honestly, that's cooler to me than when he when he comes in where she's singing.
I mean, that's,
that was dope as shit too.
No, but here's the thing.
But dude, that like tunnel that he's in. Yeah. Is so disgusting. I'll give it a 50-50 tie because they do have the laser moment where it comes and stops.
Dude.
And then it opens up.
Are you kidding me? Like,
that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
Sick. That was sick. That was
just incredible.
I think it would have been cooler if Tessa Thompson wasn't singing live, but we realize he's coming into her song. Like,
yeah,
I think that would have been a cool thing where like it's a hype music track and here he comes out and then you see that like, I guess the subtitles to me led to, I see Bianca is singing. I'm like,
right.
Oh shit, this is her song. That's fucking cool. Like, I think that would have been kind of a neater thing than, I guess the realist in me feels like that's kind of implausible for someone to like come out singing a theme song and then like just go sit in the crowd. And it's like, well, like usually you pre-record these because like you can't really sing
people
live.
Do it all the time.
No, but no, people like every time you see like Super Bowl, the halftime shows or whatever, like they're always performed live but pre-recorded so that things don't fuck up sound wise. So like that was like just a little lame thing to kind of be bothered by. But like I thought it would have been cool for him to come out to a dope song and then hear and then realize as the viewer, oh shit, he came out to one of Bianca's songs. That's fucking cool.
I totally agree with you. The challenging part, and I'm sure the filmmaker was like, we should do this. The challenging part is the audience isn't familiar enough with her music. To get
Michael B. Jordan looks at her and goes, this is your song.
My song. It's my song.
I'm so glad I'm walking out to your song.
Right. I think the song had been a theme that was echoed throughout the couple movies and then we'd come out to that, I think that could have happened. But as is, I think they were like, we've got to show Bianca. And
dude, it was awesome. I loved her coming out. The one thing I will say is the laser shit that's going on around him where it's like he looks like he's in like a fucking tube of lasers is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It's pretty cool.
When we first saw it in theaters, I was like, what the fuck is this? And that was leading into... I don't remember, some kind of funny live event of some sort. And I was talking to your brother. I'm like, how do we do this? And we were like looking into it. And apparently you can't do that. It only works because it's a camera trick. So that laser, we could see it. If people were in the arena, they wouldn't be able to see it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So it's like it is just a four movie type.
You can get beam splitters, though. Like, you can get lasers that go, you have to have a smoke haze in the environment, but you can get
them. Yeah, you can mimic the effect, right. But like what they had going on there, sick. It's so damn cool. It's almost like looking like there's video screens in front of them. And
well,
shit.
We got you the other one. We got you the video screen, the giant video screen. Like the LED stuff.
Yeah.
So we got you that one.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank
you. Time out. I know we're getting ahead here, but you're telling me
it's
that in Rocky IV, where they had James Brown coming down from a statue and Apollo Creed is like, I want you to Drago? Come on, man.
I mean, I love that. Dude. I mean, that was hype. That was hype too. But like the entrances from Creed 1, not as good. I'm just saying these took it up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
These are when we started realizing that the Fast and Furious could be 10 movies strong.
I mean, now I'm just like, what is Creed 3's entrance is going to be?
I mean,
like, they better knock it out incredible. Fuck hard, man.
Yeah,
you're right. True. Jaden Smith's Icon, oh my God.
It's
even just saying
so
that, I got chills. The song's so
nasty.
Good.
Nasty.
And like, what happened to Jaden? Like, it's such a good song. He just kind of went away.
He's got bored.
Music.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, when you drop that as like your the key song on your first album, I don't even know if it was an album, it was like three songs. You're just like, I'm done. It was the hottest song I've ever fucking heard in my life.
Love that shit. But yeah, I really love this
movie.
It was a blast. And again, I just think it had all the things that I liked the most. And I can't wait to talk about those details with all of you. A real quick little fact I want to give you guys. Bridget Nielsen, who reprised her role from Rocky IV in 1985 as Drago's ex-wife, is the real-life ex-wife of Sylvester Stallone. We've covered that before. But what we didn't cover is that in this movie, she was 7 months pregnant when shooting her scenes, making it necessary to shoot around her bulging stomach is how they phrased it here. She gave birth to her fifth child and first daughter, Frida, exactly 2 weeks after the movie wrapped up. But I kind of love that as just like a maybe a reason for why she's in it so little, doesn't say anything, and just kind of leaves. But I also love it because that made her so great in this movie.
She's like an espionage boss.
very Disney-like too, you know, like a stepmother type vibe.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because she was... not necessarily that in the first movie, right? She was sort of his manager and like taking care of him a little bit. And so to have her have this big role reversal in this is kind of haunting. Like her, that scene in the dinner with like the oligarch and it's like, what's going on here? And then she comes in, and you're like, this is not a good environment for anyone to be. Like, I just feel uncomfortable watching that. And then, of course, Victor mirrors that when he freaks out. He's like, what's going on here? I don't like any of this shit. But it's, I mean, good on them. Good on her for coming back to this and doing the cameo, because I remember seeing that in theaters being like, oh, I did not expect Brigitte Nielsen to be coming back into this role right now. It's wild.
Sancho, you going to say something before we get to the plot?
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, that it's interesting that, as well, Dolph Lundgren, I think, does a really good job. I mean, we could give him some of his flowers because his character was so one-dimensional and he only had that one moment. But for him to feel like, hey, the reason why they're treating us this way is because I lost. Like, when he said that in the dinner, it was like, it's my fault. I'm the failure. And for him to be so conditioned in that way to consider that he's, even though he's a great fighter, in his world, even though, like, for example, when Creed lost, he's still considered one of the best in the world in America and in general. But when Dolph Lundgren lost, when Drago lost, he's a failure and he's literally living in the slums. And I just liked it, man. When I first saw it, I thought it was like, man, what a weird pull to use Drago as like double dipping. But for some reason, this time around, it worked really well.
Well, it's especially interesting because you see where he is, right? He's not living in Russia anymore. He's in Ukraine.
Yeah.
He starts in Kiev, which is
very interesting.
Wild, right? He was like, they like kicked him out of the country. They're like, you can't live here anymore. The important note, of course, is that two important distinguing factors of Drago being where he is and Creed being where he is. Creed was champion for a really long time. And also, true, Creed's from the good old-fashioned U.S. of A., ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
And that's all that matters. That's
we're not just something to Canada.
Roger and Lianza came over to watch this with us for the first time, and they haven't seen the Rocky movies. So every once in a while, they'd ask some questions. And they're just like, wait, so did he really die in the ring? I'm like, yes, he died in the ring. This man punched this man's father, and he died in the ring. And then at the end of the movie, Rocky won and stopped the Cold War.
Won the Cold War. Literally, the wall came down next day. Wild.
Love it. But hey, you know what else I love? Sponsors. You're going to check them out right now. Shout out to HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. Remember those New Year's goals you promised yourself that you'd stick to? Well, HelloFresh is here to help you eat better by delivering fresh ingredients and easy recipes right to your door, taking the hassle out of dinner time. Fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions, are ready in less than 15 minutes, so you can enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. A ton of us here at Kind of Funny have been using HelloFresh for years. Kevin loves how easy it is to get Paula vegetarian options, while I just love how quick the fast and fresh recipes come together during a hectic day in the studio. Go to HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
The newest episode of my video essay series, The Blessing Show, is out right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and it's all about black hair in video games. Black representation is complex compared to alien frogmen. I'm sure it's way easier to conceptualize this than a fade. Elden Ring is the highest selling new IP in years, and I guarantee you, From Software and Bandai Namco understands that their audience extends internationally. When given the option to create a black character, I would like to create a version of myself that doesn't look like if Lil Nas X sang lead for Fallout Boy. For many, I'm sure this seems like a very minuscule and specific thing to complain about. There's plenty of noteworthy areas of improvement the games industry can still make, even in just the area of representation and inclusion. So why is black hair one to harp on? Well, for folks who just listen to me on podcasts and have never seen a Kind of Funny video before, surprise, I'm black. Check it out over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
And now it's time for the plot.
A little bit of it sounds like an after school special, or like that moment in the sitcoms where it's like, we need to talk about something real.
Yeah, something happened today.
Ladies and gentlemen,
there it is.
Here is the plot for Creed 2. Mother Russia. Nope, it's Ukraine. We catch up with our friend Ivan Drago and see a little cameo from Brigitte Nielsen in a picture. And we're like, oh, that's cool. They got her in this. That's how we're going to see her. No. We'll see a lot more about that before he wakes up his son to go train. And I love this scene. You know what it reminds me a lot of, Tim? My mind is your mind. Eye to eye. What scene am I thinking of from an iconic
Tokyo Drift.
No,
when he a Marvel when movie in the circle.
A Marvel movie.
Goofy movie
that involves
you said eye to eye.
No, it was just it was a Spock. My mm-hmm. mind is your mind. I'm gonna give you hints. I want my birth.
Oh, Iron Man 2. Okay, yeah.
This reminds me a lot of this.
I get it.
Pretty big
a
lot hint. Of this. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm going to give you a hint. Hey. Iron Man 2. It's Iron Man 2.
I'm going to give you a second Iron Man.
Second Iron Man. No, I love this, man. Like, how he wakes up Victor, he just kind of like, you know, like throws something in his stomach and he's like, it's time to go. We got to get this done. And nobody seems happy about this. Mm-mm. Victor's mm-mm. not happy. He is a tortured soul. He is just doing this to appease his father and get them out of this situation.
Nick, I need to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You keep saying Victor, and now is it because the K is throwing you off? Because I'm not gonna lie, when I see Victor spelled with a K, I don't know how to pronounce it either.
Victor, I think it's like Victor.
Victor.
Victor. Victor.
I want my board and my name.
I just say Victor because it's like I don't know. Well, it sounds more Russian.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Tor.
I'll be honest with you. I said Brigitte Nielsen. I'm like, I don't know if that's how you say her name, but it sounds
Bridget
right.
Brigitte Nielsen. Yeah.
Is it Bridget?
Nielsen?
Nelson.
I thought it was Bruce
Nelson.
Are we saying
Nelson.
Leslie Nielsen?
We're just so far off here.
I was going to say, his real name is Big Nasty. That's his nickname, dude. That dude is big.
Dude, this Victor's dude.
Huge, dude.
Literally, my third note is here is Victor is massive.
Do we know who he is?
Dude, he's a tank.
I do not.
Eye to eye.
Here
we go.
MCU. Yeah. MCU, okay?
Unibus.
Yeah.
All right.
No way.
The guy
not
in,
him.
In Shang.
Laserface?
Nope. Laserface, no.
Razorface. The worst
face.
Character. In, no way. What a. Oh my God.
What a nerf, dude. What a nerf from Shang-Chi. Because this dude was a tank, man.
Just one of the worst characters in any Marvel movie, straight up.
Like a car.
We head over
I hated
to,
him.
to this Cold War
now.
Era gym.
You piss me off, dude.
Where they are, they're fighting, and Victor just beats the shit out of his opponent while up. Well, this guy Buddy, who is a promoter, watches and smiles. And I'll tell you what, Drago still has great hair.
Does.
Nick, that was a note that I wrote down of like great head of hair.
This guy, we should all be so lucky. He's a good looking man.
Handsome dude.
You know, I met him.
Really?
Yeah, I met him at a Comic-Con party. Jace Hall was there randomly.
Who's Jace Hall?
Jace Hall is a guy that we.
He sounds like he played like cornerback for the Rams.
He was a personality back in the day, and he was at this party. And for whatever reason, I had worked with him one time, so I said hi to him. And as I was talking to him, I turned around and I saw Dolph Lundgren, and apparently they're friends. And I was like, oh, and he introduced me. He goes, hey, this is Dolph Lundgren. I was like, oh, hello, I'm a huge fan. He goes, hello, nice to meet you. Would you mind if I talk to my good friend Jace Hall? And I was like, no, not at all. And that was the last interaction.
That's awesome.
And they sat down and they kind of looked at me and I was like,
leave this alone.
I bid you a good job.
And then Nick walked away sadly.
Slow. It's like the anime where they don't want to animate the whole thing. It's just the body just this, as it goes down the road.
In front of the sunset.
Do you have a photo of him on your mirror? Because he disrespected you and you're just going to crunch it up.
It's really, Sancho, it's Steve Buscemi in oh God, Billy Madison, where he's crossing out Henry Winkler and fucking Dolph Lundgren.
I'll tell you what, I would, but the man is massive. He scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. Creed 2 title,
boom, awesome.
Just boom, just hits you. Bianca puts her aid in her ear so she can hear the crowd. Creed is finally fighting Wheeler for the championship and his sting. They make a point to say that.
Fighting for the sting, baby. The sting. And then he gets it. And you see him in it later.
She signs to him, did you take a shit yet? And he was like, yeah, I got it done. Which great. I like that joke comes back.
That was the moment of this movie. And I know we're like 2 minutes into this movie.
This
but
is gonna be
but
good
I was
one.
Like, this is going to be good.
This is going to
be
good. And then Rocky pulls him aside and says, you know, there's only 3 steps into that ring. Just 3. And tonight it's going to look as high as a mountain. So now you got to ask yourself, are you here to prove something to other people or to prove something to yourself?
Any like sort of reminders of the first time we saw the Last of Us trailer with, hey there, kiddo.
Dude, he looked like he was dead. He was dead.
Dude, when he walks in, I was like, oh, Rocky died, and this is him talking to nobody. Like, he's just talking to the ghost of Rocky. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, and then I saw him in the crowd, like, come on. I was like, oh, no, he's alive. Okay, never mind. But it was just a very weird conversation. It was oddly toned and kind of shot where you just see his reflection. And he walks up, and nobody in the room is really paying attention. So I was like, oh, shit, they killed Rocky. Wow.
Interesting.
It's in the trailer. Yeah. It's in the E3 trailer to swerve
you. Hey there, kiddo.
You
really want to go doing this?
What's crazy is if you actually watch this movie back, Rocky doesn't actually interact with anyone else.
He's been dead the whole time.
You fucking imagine.
Awesome. If you notice, yeah, in the cemetery shot, there's no shadow under
there's
him.
No shadow.
Can you imagine if we got to the end of this movie and there was just a fucking montage of all the things, the scenes, and he's not in them?
That would be so sick, dude.
So funny. Creed, of course, puts Wheeler down for the count and yells, "Now give me my keys." Bianca, I mean, wins the championship.
Again, the best yelling actor in Hollywood.
Yep,
dude, the yelling's great, but also you earlier giving a shout out to the out-of-ring work of just the people in the crowd and how it, like we've seen Adrian before kind of go like, yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, kicks ass.
This is awesome. Seeing Tessa Thompson being like, stay down. Like, yeah. It's like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's so good. She, of course, brings him back to reality because he's screaming and she says, do you know what you just did? Do you know what just happened?
Yeah.
Dude. Then Buddy's there like
she's
a goddamn
rape. She's so good, man.
She's
really good, really good, really good.
Buddy's there again. He's Buddy's everywhere.
Buddy's everywhere.
Buddy's coming around the corner like Mr. T and Rocky III. He's just fucking everywhere.
But dude, that's my thing. Is like, I know that this is stupid and actually would have made the movie worse. But I really wanted Buddy to be the son of the guy of the other Duke from Rocky V.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
The promoter guy.
Yeah,
Bowling America, dude. Mm-hmm.
I think I was like, you could see they were angling for it, but like, we don't need to.
They're like, we can't commit.
That's a little too much.
It's too far.
What's
this? Is actually the son of the little girl Rocky walked home.
What did she call him? A punk or something like that? Later that night, Donnie
Creepo.
Shows.
Yeah. Creepo, yeah.
Screw you, Creepo.
Later that night, Donnie shows Rocky the ring he's going to give to Bianca. And he says, why didn't you tell me about this? And he's like, I didn't know if I was going to win. He goes, what does that have to do with anything? He's like, why does that have to work out? He's like, I don't know, man. He's totally freaked out. And he wants to know how Rocky proposed to Adrian. This is a great little endearing moment.
It's so good because he tells the whole story of how it actually happened with the tiger in the background and all that. Leanne starts cracking up. And I'm like, no. He's not making this. That's what happened. We saw it. That was in the movie. The entire thing. Rocky 2, right?
God, Stallone's so
Rocky
good, 2. Man.
Fucking Stallone, so man.
Like, and he's so unbelievably good in these movies, dude.
Yeah, he tells the whole story. It's great. I love this part. And then Donnie's like, what are you talking about? He goes, listen, just turn your brain off and let your heart do the talking. And so, of course, he goes inside and he musters up the courage and he gives Bianca a very nice speech, which she does not hear a word of. But she turns around and sees him sitting there with the ring and she freaks out and then shuts the door on him out of nervousness.
I just noticed Mike L's comment in chat who said his name is Razorfist, not Lasertube.
I loved this so much. I mean, like, obviously such a great playful bit between them, but just the back and forth dialogue of her seeing it, realizing it all happening, and then just being like, what did you say? And he was like, nothing
you don't already know.
And she says, remind me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Best fucking couple. You kidding me?
So good.
So much better writing than the first one, man. Yeah. So much better.
It really is true. She says yes, of course, and then they start to make out underneath the twinkling lights of Vegas, and then we cut over to a stark difference between them and Victor, who is single-handedly winning the war in Russia.
Yeah,
he's just murdering
they
people.
They put on that blue filter to really evoke.
It's really cold in cold parts of Russia.
Buddy, of course, tells them it's time because now that Creed has the title, they have a good shot at goading him into a title fight and making some serious money. Bianca wants to move back to LA, but Donnie is worried about Rocky. She thinks her music will be better there.
Don.
Rocky heads over to the cemetery to talk to Adrian about their son and where Rocky fits in his life in the larger world. And I like this. It's real, right? Rocky's like, the kid's not going to need me for much longer. And our son, I kind of messed up that relationship. I don't really know my grandson. I haven't met him yet.
Jeez.
And it's like, cool, let's set that scene up and making it cry in the last 3 seconds of this movie.
Of course.
Jesus Christ. But it's good. I mean, he's worried. You get that Rocky's like, at some point, I'm running out of time, and I don't. What's my role now for the rest of my life? What little I have left.
Don just won the belt. I mean, what else is there to do? He doesn't need to train him anymore. I mean, sure, he could train him a little bit more, but he's seeing the light in the tunnel. And I think that the big thing as well is what makes Stallone so good in these moments is there's a lot of internal monologue when he's talking, and there's a lot of fear when he's talking. And I just love that it just, Adrian does not have to be there, but the music that they play, Adrian's love theme, is just so iconic, and it works. It gets me every time. I get upset. It's like, it just gets me, and I start tearing up when I hear it.
Me too. Of course, Rocky later that night at Adrian's restaurant gets a visit from Drago, who's looking at the pictures, and he says, nice pictures. No pictures of me, though, huh? He's like,
this is no pictures of me. This is so good, man.
Goddamn. Victor, of course, has issued a challenge to Creed again. This man is not in Creed's weight class. Just absolutely, just totally different weight classes. They say, of course, this is Creed versus Drago. This is the fight he should take unless he's afraid that history will repeat himself. And he goes, he says something about strays that were there. And then Rocky goes, well, around here, we put strays away.
Oh, damn.
And it's like, fuck, dude. All right.
Rocky still got it, baby.
I still got it, bro. Rocky tells Donnie, of course. Donnie wants to take the fight. And he says, let it go. He said, quote, that stuff happened a million years ago. That has nothing to do with you. But we all know he can't wait. He's got to take the fight. Bianca gives a stirring performance at her show while Buddy approaches Donnie with the hard sell. He says, quote, in the history of boxing, there have been 77 champions. How many of them do you think anyone in the crowd knows?
I love it, dude. It's you need the narrative, man. The rumble in the jungle. He's right.
He's like, and that's a great the call. I mean, the guy, look, the guy is obviously out for money. He doesn't give a shit about ramifications, but he can make hype. And he's like, you know the rumble in the jungle? Somebody had to make that happen. That just didn't come out of nowhere.
That was it.
Rumble and bumble. It's been a long day, Andy. It's great. It's true, though, right? Somebody has to make that happen. And Buddy's got to be the guy. And, of course, he's going to make some money in the process. And
see,
he says...
That's why... sorry to interrupt, but that's why this YouTuber boxing stuff is so much stronger than anything that real boxing is doing right now. I mean, it's getting attention to the sport. It's because these personalities are bigger than life. Yes, the boxing is very poor, but you know that's what's so interesting. I remember talking to Showtime. This boxer name is Showtime, Sean Porter. And he was talking about how, I mentioned this before in an interview, but he was just talking about how Jake Paul and the Logan brothers, Logan Paul and Jake Paul, are bringing so much attention to the sport because they understand that it's not just about winning or fighting. It's about showmanship, and it's about having that bravado. It's about getting eyes on your selling tickets, and that's what that guy's all about, selling tickets, and that's why it's so important to have Creed versus Drago. And it's just so bizarre that Drago, literally no fights, all amateur, to be able to get a title shot. That's kind of unfair, dude. It's like, you know, you gotta pay due to the people that actually were there, the number one contender.
It's true, and I wonder, it's interesting, because I wonder... Well, I guess he just beat up
anybody who told him he couldn't.
I'm surprised there's not like a Russian connection. I thought like someone was going to trash Adrian's restaurant. It's like, is that what's going to happen here? Like, it gave me that vibe from Drago.
Well, what's interesting about the setup, though, is that you don't need it, right? Is like you understand why Donnie wants to take this fight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not, it's not for ego. It's not for hubris. It's because this guy killed his dad. And that makes a lot of sense, right? And like,
well, when you put it that way,
it's, I mean, you know, this is the person directly responsible for his father's death, or the son of the person directly responsible for this. But more so than that, you also understand that he's like, he knows he needs to be tested as a champion in order to actually consider himself a champion. It's very true, right?
And you get those great little add-ins of, look, Wheeler was 3 years past
his
prime.
Wheeler's like, past his prime, and all that shit.
I think Michael B. Jordan has like kind of great acting without saying anything where he's kind of listening to these sportcasts and not necessarily like showing a face of disagreement. He's just kind of like, wrong, you know?
And you know, we saw this in Rocky 3, right? I mean, this movie is very much a spiritual successor, like or reboot of Rocky 3. We saw it, right? Yeah. Where Mick was like, he was like, did you give me a bunch of those fights that were like easy fights? And Mick was like, oh, I kind of did. Because because Rocky took a lot of damage. And he was like, listen, I wanted to set you up for life. And I what do they call it? What's the turn of phrase? Gimme fights or something like that. Something like that.
I thought you meant something with like golden parachute, but that's like when you no, that's and you get a bunch of shots.
Yeah, that's not that's a very different distinctive thing.
I was gonna say layups, but that ain't correct.
No, it'll come to me, but I think it's like anyway. They have that Mick basically cops to it in Rocky 3. Anyway, Donnie tells Rocky he wants to take the fight, but Rocky tells him he's like, dude, it's not worth it. When I fought Drago, that guy broke things in me that ain't ever been fixed.
Oh my god, man.
And Donnie looks him in the eyes and gets it. He goes, you think I'm gonna lose? And he goes, I'm gonna take this fight with or without you. And Rocky goes, then it's got to be without. And then he said, at least you don't have to worry about throwing the towel in this time.
Oh,
fuck me. Good scene. Great
brutal
scene.
And I think a lot of those lines of dialogue hit great, but I still don't love how
here we go.
What's it gonna be?
I still don't love
MBJ.
No, I mean, no, the acting's better and improved in this movie, I'd say. I don't think that I just don't like the way that character responds to, as if like, just a very extreme reaction to Rocky. Like,
yes.
To Rocky, yes. Like, you gotta understand, like, this man, Rocky, knew your dad more than you ever did.
Right. Like, they were best friends.
He held your dying dad in his arms. He doesn't want to go through that. He's lost enough already. I don't love Michael B. Jordan's reactions. And even though Tessa Thompson's there to kind of be like, he loves you. Why are you like, you got to chill the fuck out. Rocky loves you, you know? I think it's a very, very extreme reaction. Tim, I'm going to eye to eye, but also mouth to ear.
Okay.
I'm going to whisper right now, so it's going to get signed for the podcast listeners.
Yeah. You know, okay, yeah.
A little spoiler for something else, 100%. But, you know, you all don't know, chat. You don't know anything.
I'll know one day.
Donnie tells Bianca he's taking the fight, and Rocky isn't going to train him. And off they go to the dopest penthouse I've ever seen in Los Angeles, California. They head over to his mom's house to give her the news that he's going to take the fight, and she instead guesses that Bianca is pregnant. And they're like, no, I'm not pregnant. And then she starts thinking, and they have this one moment where she's like, oh, fuck.
And she spits the wine.
And she spits the wine out.
Like, there's something so just human about the way that they portray their both Creed and Bianca's characters that, like, I just really enjoy them a lot.
Yeah.
She says, of course.
A lot of that is Tessa Thompson just being phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Like, in every line. Yeah.
She says, I don't know if we're ready. And he goes, let's be ready then.
Oh, great line, too.
And then down in the kitchen, he tells his mom the truth. And, man, this scene fucking rocks. This is a great scene. He says, you want to fight this man? It's your business. You don't need my blessing. You clearly don't have Rockies. Because she's like, where's it? You know, she asked in the beginning. She's like, where's Rocky? He's like, oh, he's not going to make it out. And then the second he tells her that he's going to fight, and she realizes Rocky's not there, she understands what's going on. She gets the score. And she says, don't make this about me, and don't pretend this is about your father. You became the champion without him. And then he says, then why don't I feel it? And she says, if your father were here, he'd tell you he didn't feel like it either. I just hope you'll be here for your child.
Do you remember that in Rocky II? And Creed's like, man, I want to fight this guy. And everyone's like, you don't have to. You beat him. You don't give him another chance. Yeah. And he's like, no, that's not what it's about. I should have destroyed him. And his pride and on all that stuff was on the line. So it's so cool to see her understand everything about this boxing world and see her. And then that later scene where she's talking to Tessa Thompson is like, I've been here before. You need to let him come out of that. We'll get to that later. But she's an awesome character, and they gave her more room to breathe rather than just be like at the very beginning and then a little bit near the end. I loved everything about her this time around.
She actually gets to see with Rocky, which is great.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is cool, because I think I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure we saw her character in Rocky II, right? She is the wife that's in the mansion with him when he is obsessing about that fight with Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And he's like, she's like, why? And I think they have a scene where she's like, what's going on with you? And he goes, I have to fight this guy again. I have to. They're telling me that because all the sports announcers were like, Rocky won that fight. Rocky won that fight. And he was like, I think he won that fight. I got to fight him again. I got to fucking know. And like, she's in there, right? It's just such a cool, moment to have her kind of have that mirrored again.
And think about this as well. Apollo Creed got a bag full of letters of people hating on him, right? Yeah. Fan mail. Fast forward to now, it's Creed with an iPad listening to all these sports and things like that. So it's just showing you that technology. We went from
SVP, man. SVP out
saga.
There.
There you go.
SVP talking shit, Sancho.
Scott Van Pelt.
real quick, Nick, I wanted to bring this up. It was earlier, but when Bianca was doing her show at the concert venue, it was the Fillmore. And did you notice it? Like, did it look familiar to you at all?
Well, they said it was the Fillmore, but wasn't it Philly?
So that's the thing that confused the shit out of me. They were at this concert venue called the Fillmore, and I was like, oh, there's a Fillmore in San Francisco, like iconic music venue. I've been there a million times.
Kind of funny life.
And almost.
Not big enough.
Yeah, it wasn't big enough, exactly. But
way cheaper, though.
I was looking at it, and I'm like, it's the fucking Fillmore. And I was like, how are they in San Francisco? That is so random. Like, they don't explain this, and it's so fucking weird, because it's the exact same layout. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that can't be right. And then they said something, it's in Philadelphia. So I started Googling it. It's a bizarre fucking story where the Fillmore is a San Francisco thing. Philadelphia, somebody came to San Francisco, saw, like, enjoyed the venue so much that they recreated the Fillmore in Philadelphia.
Wow.
So this is a second Fillmore. And, like, it's some weird shit going on. I'm like, what the hell?
That might be illegal, actually, Andy. That's crazy. That's wild.
Like IP infringement.
I mean, maybe. I'm pretty sure they were like connected.
Oh, I'm sure. But, like, I mean, that does happen, right? Like, you know, there's the punchline. There's multiple punchlines all over.
Are you going to like?
But they're not exact replicas.
It's like where they're all exact same layout. I was like, that's fucking bizarre.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Weird thing. Not the exact same layouts every time you go in.
I'm going to make a studio just holy like shit. Yours.
That's wild. I don't like that. That's freaky dicky. Bianca and Donnie have a tender moment. Bianca is worried that her hearing loss will be hereditary. And then Donnie the next day heads over to Delphi, or the Delphi gym. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's pronounced Delphi, but it's Delphi, obviously like a Philadelphia Delphi. Thing.
No, I think it's a...
LA, right?
Well, Delphi, yeah, in LA. Delphi is Greek. Right, yeah. It's a Greek god of some sort.
Kevin went through this.
Yeah, Apollo. Oh, that's right.
That's a place.
And also, the kid, Amara, also a goddess.
Ah,
there you go.
The goddess of life organization.
There you go. Get your shit together.
That's not real.
That's not real.
That's what Google says.
He tells little Duke that they have to do it, and he's like, you have to train me. And Duke's like, this is not my business. He goes, we got to do it for our fathers. And you're like, fuck, that's right. Duke was there.
Duke got to do it.
God damn it, he's right. Meanwhile,
throw the towel.
Victor
throw
is the towel. Just a fucking monster.
I also didn't even realize that this is a Wire reunion.
It's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Oh, right, because they were both in The Wire.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot Michael B. Jordan was on The Wire because he was so young.
Yeah, he was only like a kid. Season one, spoilers.
Baby, he's like, well.
Very sad.
He moved.
He moved out of town.
Meanwhile, Victor is over there doing fucking pull-ups with a massive 90-pound weight hanging off of his waist like a savage. And he's massive.
I mean, Kevin, do we have a song that we could play regarding the muscle that...
Were they born in labs? Now it's time to rank those abs.
God damn. He's not even talking in the mic. He's not even making noise. I forgot this. I forgot it was such a... God, I hate
it. How mad it made me immediately.
I don't know why he leaned to the side either. He leaned away. I just saw his mouth moving.
Not even noise gate.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Rank Those Abs. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino. I got to be honest with you guys. Listen, Michael B. Jordan looks excellent in this movie. But Taser Face?
Razor Fist.
This guy is number one. This guy is fucking cut through his gourd, and he is massive. His physique is perfect. It's a perfect body.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a body.
Especially the shots in the upcoming fight where he's seen at a profile view and it's just titty. Fucking ab.
Ab.
Dude. Yeah. It looks. This guy is so impressive.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
You're right.
Number one for me.
Number one with a bullet.
It's good.
All right.
I can't add anything more to that.
what are we going to do, Sancho?
Too much extra sauce.
Right.
It's good.
Of course, we get our first montage here.
Our first montage.
The festivities kick off. We get training, press conferences. Michael B. Jordan swimming. He's throwing punches, stuff like that.
So cool.
And then Victor is doing this insane workout with the ropes where he's burpee, like boom, 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 burping and then jump, like throwing. I don't know what the fuck he's doing, but it's not possible.
I love
this. This is all CG.
And this movie.
CG.
This movie being like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to do two montages and they're both going to be sick as shit, in my opinion. I love it. Exactly. They know what they're doing.
We get the weigh-ins, of course, and seeing these two actors opposite each other at a literal weigh-in, I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah, this should be illegal.
It is illegal. There's no way. Michael B. Jordan is not... He probably conservatively was maybe 190 when he did this movie.
You think he'd say, like, hey, this is an unsanctioned fight?
No, because you can't have an unsanctioned fight for the championship. It has to be a sanctioned fight. Also, this is the other small critique, is that there is a governing body for boxing. Yep. And they do approve fights. You can't just randomly fight someone and have them take the belt. They have to say, yes, you can have this. Otherwise, it is an unsanctioned fight. And then they don't get the belt.
Okay, but counterpoint, Nick.
Yes.
The announcers were like, it feels so Shakespearean.
Yes.
Two men raised a world apart and tragedy remains. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
And I'll tell you this. You're right. That line totally redeemed yourself with it. And then this line happens. Drago looks at Michael B. Jordan and says, you're much smaller than your father.
Oh,
motherfucker. I'm like, dude, that's if you want to say one thing. And you know he means like figuratively and metaphorically speaking.
His dick.
I mean, I wasn't going there, but sure.
I did like this small moment of acting between Victor, looking at Drago. Because I feel like this was the start of, is this my fight or yours, bro?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's a small look there of him looking at his dad like,
what are you doing?
What the fuck, man? Yeah. Like, come on, you know? And I enjoy those little moments that eventually lead into Yeah, the son kind of like, I don't want your life.
Arsenal I don't lose. Want your life. Remember that?
James
that's why I said it.
I don't want your life.
Do you remember that, bro?
Do you remember that?
Remember that line you just said? In that movie you just quoted?
God. I hate you. You are the worst, man. Fuck.
Yeah, but you remember it, bro. Do you remember it?
This stuffing is killing me.
We just gotta deal with it. We just gotta act like it's stop okay, leaning. You know?
Stop leaning over.
All right. So the fight starts, and then Rocky tries not to watch, but he can't help himself. He has
it's
to
like Rocky
TV
Five.
On. It's, yep. It's just exactly
he's watching
like
on TV. He's like, he's baiting you. Like, oh my, like, oh, this is great.
Maybe
this
will end in the streets.
Drago freaking out, like he's freaking out. Rocky Five hitting the bag. Remember?
Yeah.
He's just like, and they're like, oh, you're weird.
Drago makes his way to the ring with no music. Missed opportunity here, if you ask me. If only this movie
scary,
had better entrances
dude.
For the fighters, maybe it'd be
scary,
a good movie.
Scary, dude. You walk into a room with no music, that's scary, dude.
Until Creed walks in.
Yep.
With the dopest
that
intro song.
Fucking sample, dude. I don't even know. Is it a woman's voice?
I don't know what it is. It was my first time ever hearing the song, and I was obsessed with this after that.
It's so good.
It's so good just to drive. If you want to get hype for it, I used to listen just before I go to Punchline on Sundays, just to get fucking hyped to go up on to maybe not
it's
go
It's a
up
really
on
good song. Yeah,
it's great. The light show's great. If I saw this, I'd be like, all right, he's pretty cool. Creed's pretty cool. Maybe Creed's we can be homie.
And it kind of reminds me of Apollo Creed coming out to fight Rocky and having this big grandiose entrance.
Mm-hmm. And then just getting put down.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
The ref tells him to touch gloves, but Donnie refuses. Round one, Creed starts going downstairs, but it doesn't seem to be phasing Drago at all, who knocks him back into the ropes with one punch, despite the fact that he parried the punch, but he still got knocked back. And you're like, Jesus Christ, you're in for more punishment.
Yeah, this was like fucking like Cap holding his shield up and getting knocked into by Thanos and him still doing the anime slide back. Yeah. You know, like, God damn, you could just feel the power in it.
Have ever you seen Brock Lesnar actually fight UFC?
Yeah.
Like, that dude is scary, and this dude moved like him. And I have to say, probably the best punches I've seen in a boxing choreography, like, when he throws a haymaker, I really felt like he smacked Michael B. Jordan, like, really hard. It was just like, you felt, in the sound design, you felt dude, like bones were being broken.
Exactly. Like,
and
go for it. Sorry.
I was going to say, like, what's with Creed? Like, both his daddy and baby Creed, protect your ribs, bro. Like, that's the second time.
Bro, you got to protect your ribs.
You're just getting destroyed by these boxers. But, man, I've never seen anyone get, like, beaten up that way in my life.
The impact of it, I think, was extremely felt because not only is this guy huge and the punches looked great, the sound design was so good, and the camera work of getting the point of view shots of them, like, as they were punching, I'm like, we haven't seen that before. And it was just like, oh shit, like there's a different level to this where it made you feel like you're in that shit with them, and it was it's scary, man.
Yeah, again, I think these are the two best fights we've seen in the Rocky universe.
Didn't they add POVs too of like him actually looking at Victor, and it's just like, dude, this dude's super fast,
crazy,
and he's just destroying him.
Love. Right, I gotta grab a power cable from Cool G real quick. There you go, because my neck is about to run out of power, but it's okay. We got a couple minutes. Donnie, of course, gets put into the corner, but he's saved by the bell. In between the rounds, Drago looks Victor in the eyes. Victor says he's afraid. Drago goes, I know. And then Victor says he's afraid. Drago goes, I know. And then he goes, then why is he still standing? That's what he said.
Great line.
Mix those up. Mix those up.
Yeah, great. I was sorry. I was just laughing again. Do you remember that?
I don't want to lie.
Do you remember that? That's the thing I just said.
By the way, Michael B. Jordan does look scared. Like his nuanced performance in this fight, he does look like scared compared to when he fights him at the end. It's a completely different look. He has that eye of the beaver.
I just do the beaver. I think there are too many like the pain face he makes looks like I'm on the verge of tears. Which he probably is because his ribs are broken, but it does feel a little bit like weaker, and like you'd be getting memed to hell if like you're in, like, can you imagine the memes of him in like
just like LeBron fight? Like,
he just looks like he's just like in ultimate pain, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I think a lot of it's a mouthpiece as well, you know.
His ribs get shattered. Duke wants to call the fight, and he's like, "You can't call this fight." Meanwhile, Drago is like, "If you win this, your mom will come back." I'm like, oh, that's cute, but, you know, probably not literally.
You're going to plug it in?
Not literally going to happen. Well, I was just going to wait till there was a lull in the conversation. Oh, okay. Maybe when someone said something, and I mirror that in just slightly, a slightly better version of what was going on. And then just a slightly better of it, because you were like, you didn't want to go full Yoko with it, but I did. Anyway, let's see. Round three, Creed takes more punishment. Rocky screams for them to stop the fight. A devastating shot to the ribs puts Creed on his knees, and Drago cannot help himself. He delivers an insanely devastating uppercut, but it's illegal because Donnie has been knocked down and declared that way by the ref. Well, I think it's, I don't know what the boxing rule is, but in UFC, once your knee goes down, you can no longer kick a person because they don't want head kicks. They're just fucking murdering people.
I love it. I love this as, like, of course, I'm 30, 40 minutes into the movie. We're already seeing this fight, and I go, all right, they're going to do the Rocky thing where he loses the belt. He has to win it back at the end. And this is like the perfect kind of curveball to change things up. And not only just for the sake of making this boxing match different and not having it be so copy-paste of the losing the belt, having to win it back later, but it adds so much more to the motivation of the characters. Like, I love that interview later. Hey, when you lost that match, I didn't lose.
Yeah.
Sorry, disqualified. Like, he knows he was whooping his ass, and Creed knows he was getting his ass whooped, you know?
It's also perfect, right, because you can see the Reddit threads. You can see the internet forum threads of, like, he didn't lose, he got disqualified. John Jones famously one time, I think it was, like, one of his very first matches in UFC, was throwing elbows on an opponent, and he was throwing the 12-6 elbows, whatever they call them, basically like this, which are, for whatever reason, illegal in the UFC. He got called on it once, and then he did it again, and they disqualified him, but he was winning the fight. And that's, like, his one and only loss, but it's not a loss. It's a DQ. And so everyone always constantly brings shit like that up. You could see that this would be, like, no one would ever let this go. You have to fight again.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's like Sancho, it's like the Jim Joyce perfect game that wasn't a perfect game with Galarraga. Remember that? Let me just paint you all to tell everybody. The final out of a game, a perfect game, you haven't gotten a hit the whole time, you haven't walked anybody the whole game. The final out, bottom of the ninth. You throw a ball, ground ball, it's going to be a perfect game. Pitcher runs to the, and they called the dude safe. And the guy's like, everybody here knows that he wasn't safe. Like, it's an out. This should be the perfect game. And, like, they didn't give it to him. But, Sancho, if I'm the guy, give it to him. Give him the perfect game. Joyce afterwards, the umpire, he was like crying. He was like, I fucked that up.
Damn.
I fucked up that call.
It's like the beginning of Rat Race.
Exactly.
Paul Rubens. Rat Race in review.
I saw Rat Race in theaters. Did you?
I did.
Wait, is that the Mr. Bean movie with Whoopi?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It ends with Smash Mouth performing All Star on the stage. That's why we did it at prom.
Kind of funny prom.
Am I crazy in thinking they also had a moment where they made people hang off of some sort of curtain rail until someone had to drop and the last person standing won money? Was that Rat Race?
I think so.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Sounds weird.
I haven't seen it in too long.
They need to bring back a good Cannonball movie.
Love the Cannonball Run. We should do those in review. There's only one good one.
I love us.
Tim, I slacked you something. Could you please read it for the audience now, please? Thank you.
Yes, I can. Nick Scarpino slacked me and said,
this reminds me of the WWE commissioners when they're like, we have a note from the commissioner.
Oh, man, I don't want to read this. Part of it's okay, but the last line really bothers me. He said, I said a sport thing, and Andy, of course, has to say a better sport thing. You see what I'm dealing with? And then he says, I don't want your life. But life is spelled L-Y-F-E. Remember that?
Remember that, Andy?
You see that movie? Friday Night Lights.
I love that Nick's trying to equate...
Sporty Blues.
Equate, like... Nick coming in with a useless sports thing, Andy breaking down like a historic sport event, with Nick just being like, hey, I'm going to repeat what you just said and then ask you if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I love it.
Friday Night Lights. Which one was the one with the whipped cream bikini? Varsity Blues?
That was Varsity Blues. Okay, that's one of the movies. That's the line from...
That and Not Another Teen Movie. With Chris Evans.
They did. That was Captain America.
Chris Evans
that
is a James Vanderbeek and not another team movie.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Great movie.
Back to the movie at hand. As Adonis lays motionless on the mat, Rocky turns off the TV, which is fucking haunting. Thankfully, his injury is actually just pretty okay. He'll heal with time.
Ruptured kidney, broken ribs.
I didn't like just the TV turn off.
I loved it.
I wanted like
didn't want to see it. Didn't want to see it.
Didn't want to see
I wanted like
guess he's dead.
Fear.
Can't deal with it.
Yeah. I wanted like ultimate fear and I wanted like emotion. Turning off the TV was just it
and
felt
he's
like,
not like he switched over to like Call of Duty or something.
It's just like I don't know. It just felt like you know like you back into a car and you drive away. Like that's what it kind of reminded me of. Like he sees this
like a fender bender.
He sees the thing that he was ultimately terrified. I've never done that, by the way.
I was like, wait, where are we driving from? Real life here? What's going
on? He was like, this is the thing he was the most scared of. And he sees it happen. And you see them, you hear fucking the ring announcers going like, they're going to try to get some signs alive. And they're doing the light on his eyeballs or whatever. And he just turns away and is like, whoopsie, like later. Like,
it just felt, does he immediately go to the hospital?
Well, yeah, eventually. But I had the feeling that he was like, I can't watch this. Because if he's dead, I can't deal with it. That's what I got.
Yeah, I liked it.
I just thought it was like a.
I thought he would leave the country right there.
Wow, goes to Ukraine. Thankfully, Donnie will heal in time, but will his soul, will his spirit, will his ego heal? That's going to be the problem. Duke gives Donnie the news that Victor is disqualified, which means he's still the champ, and that's not really cause for celebration.
Bottom line, still the champ.
Still the champ. Rocky tries to make Donnie feel better by going and visiting him in the hotel room and saying, hey, man, you gave it your all. You got a lot of heart. Yeah. And he just breaks down in tears. He's like, what the fucking heart are you talking about? He's like, I lost. This guy beat me. Rocky's like, fine. He leaves, and Bianca tries to console him, and he says, look at me. How's that baby going to look at me? Because that's all he's thinking about right now. What is he going to leave? What's this kid going to think of him? Donnie heads home from the hospital and tries to sleep, but instead ends up pissing blood.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, we've all been there, if you guys know what I'm talking about.
You ever back into a car before?
How many people have you killed in your life, Andy? What's going on?
I liked that sort of the physical acting of him being in bed, and like you could tell like just even trying to sit up was the most laborious thing possible.
Tough.
Good word.
Bianca turns to Marianne for help. Because Donnie has been distant, disconnected, nothing matters. And Marianne tells her, listen, Adonis is a grown man. He's gonna have to heal from the inside out, basically.
She goes, he doesn't care about me, which is new.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fuck, that shit hit me.
Yeah. Donnie, of course, goes for a swim and then screams underwater. Very powerful scene. All this stuff's shot beautifully. Because as she's talking, you're seeing this sort of him floating through life, completely disconnected. And I think Michael B. Jordan does a great job. And the cinematography here is great as well.
The Rocky theme. And the sound. Piano version playing. Yeah.
And he doesn't even want to, like, look at a bag. Doesn't even want to go in. Doesn't want to do all that.
Yep, that's the one.
Remember
that, Nick?
I do remember that. This is when he goes like this. And he's like, yo, Israel. Remember that, Andy?
I do.
Remember that?
I remember I used to hold you in my hand. This kid used to be somebody.
Hey, this is what is it? Tango and Cash. What are the turtles called?
Tango and Cash. Cuff and Link.
Cuff and Link. That's what it is.
See, Tango and Cash, another great movie.
Great fucking Sloan movie. Time jump. Bianca is real pregnant now. This apartment they live in is fucking incredible.
What an apartment.
It's so cool, man. Donnie takes a moment to kiss Bianca's baby bump, and that's kind of what starts him on his road to recovery. He starts watching tape of Victor, and then people start talking, man. Victor says, Creed must fight me. And if he doesn't fight you, then he's no champion. Over in Russia, the oligarchs are all praising Drago because he's the shit now and shower him with gifts. Now all you need to do is bring the home... that belt back home this time. And then his mom does come back. She literally actually comes back. And I'm shocked
when I first watched
this movie. Victor hates it, of course. He hates it all. He says, they ran out on you. She left you, abandoned you, shamed you. And he goes, I lost, but you won't. And I love this moment because it's the first real time that Victor is humanized in this entire thing. And it's the first time we've seen the antagonist of a movie in a Rocky series humanized before. A little bit in Rocky Balboa, where we had the champ there trying to figure out what his legacy was going to be, but we really didn't get a lot of it.
Mason was like, eh.
And you get that maybe Victor's like, I don't really want to be doing any of this shit. Like, I'm good at it, but I'm just doing this for my pops. Creed heads to Delphi and gets the bad news. He has to fight someone soon or he has to vacate the belt. But Donnie is gun shy, man. He can't even step into the gym. I love that shot where he's like, why don't you come in, work a little bit? And then as we're inside looking from his perspective, the car just pulls out and bounces.
With Andy. Andy, come in and do a review.
Backs over someone. Andy, stop yelling at me. Stop it. Meanwhile, Rocky is still trying to get that goddamn light outside of his house fixed. And he gets a letter. He gets a little letter from Marianne. When he opens it up, it says, he still needs you. When he flips it over, it's a sonogram. And it's like, God damn it, mom.
I was thinking about this. How do you get the rights to a sonogram? You know, like when you're...
emailed to you now, Andy. They give it to you on a disc.
No, but like, whose baby? What baby do you think that actually is?
Oh.
Anyone's? I mean, you can't really like distinguish in babies.
But that's what I was saying. Like, you know, like,
I'm sure there's like royalty free.
There's like child actors. Like, you think this is like a image on Adobe like stock photos?
Yeah, stock photos.
You think it was? You think this was Haley Joel Osment? Like,
I mean, this is a baby. No, it's like a child actor or whatever. Like,
I mean, you know, to be honest, they could have hired artists to just render it. It's only black and white.
CG.
Probably. CG baby.
Yeah, it's still Haley Joel Osment. Very valid question.
Very true.
Had a baby. It's a boy.
Do you think like the parents are like at home? They're like, hey, that's our fucking sonogram. Like, did they just rip that from Facebook? Like, from Pinterest?
Possible.
Pinterest. Motherfuckers posted their sonograms on Pinterest.
You never know.
You've never been on Pinterest.
I'm only ever on Pinterest when I'm Googling images to make graphics. Yeah. And I could never download the images,
worst.
Dude.
It's the worst.
I don't know how you get them. They ask you to make an account. It's like, fuck off, dude.
I don't know what Pinterest is for. I've been to Pinterest so many times, and I just don't get it. It scares me. I back away, just like Andy backs away over all of those human beings. Donnie heads to his mom's house to talk to her, but finds Rocky there instead. Rocky tells him he doesn't even know his own grandson. He's like, I don't want you to make the same mistakes as me. And then Donnie says, what were you really fighting for? And Donnie says, I was afraid of this, the expectations, being the champ. He points to his dad's trophy case. I was scared I couldn't do what he did. And he goes, I don't even know how I lost. And he goes, your mind wasn't right. And your natural style won't work against this big guy. And he goes, oh, and yours would work better? And Rocky goes,
I won,
didn't I?
Yeah, great moment.
Great moment. They have another moment where they talk about the name. And Rocky, of course, is very old school. He's like, why don't you name it something like Kate or Becky or something like that? It's like, all right, fucking old man, sit down. I finally get
Cece.
What you mean when you talk about boomers, okay?
Yeah.
I never thought of myself as a boomer. Still don't think of myself as a boomer.
Because Nick was like, that's a good name, Kate.
Hey, no, it sounds good. It's like Kate Creed. That's then, of course, they get a call. It's time. Bianca's having the baby. Rocky tells him it's going to be the best day of his life right here. This is what it's all about. Then Rocky tries to muster up the courage to call Robert, but he can't. Later, I think I missed a spot here where he has a great scene with Robert. Felicia Rashad as well, where they talk.
Baby Rocky.
Later, he gets the good news that baby Amara has arrived. But they have to do an auditory test, and it's scary. And man, the scene's soul-crushing. Yeah. All the stuff is just, like, really sad. I know it doesn't necessarily need to be in the movie, but I just like that there are these moments of this movie that could have just been a dumb action movie. It could have been a dumb boxing movie. But we take a minute to actually watch this incredibly humanizing, incredibly, like, scary, real moment between these two people as they realize that potentially their daughter is going to have hearing impairment or hearing loss for the rest of their life. It's scary. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It's a great conversation between Rocky and Creed. You know? I love that conversation of...
Oh, I love it.
He's like, look, I have faith that it won't, that she'll be okay. And he's like, okay, but what if she's not? You have to be... You're still gonna love her? He's like, of course I'm gonna love her. You know, like, I just love him kind of mentally preparing him. You have to always kind of be ready for it.
And I wrote this down because I think it's the best line of the movie. He goes, you're still gonna love her, you know, if she's deaf? And he goes, how are you even gonna ask me that? Of course I'm gonna love her. And he says, good. Because she ain't in there feeling sorry for herself, and you shouldn't either.
Yep.
It's a fucking great moment. But like, I'm coaching you all the time,
bro. It's so good, but I love that like, pretty much immediately after we get the scene of him, like, going back and punching the punching bag and, like, training, kind of, or, like, trying to at least get back to it with her.
With her.
And she's deaf, and he's yelling, punching, right. But, like, she doesn't hear it. I just love, that, like, the juxtaposition of those two scenes next to each other.
That's so good. Yeah, great moment. We'll skip ahead then. Later that night, Donnie tells Bianca that he has to fight the guy again. She says, why? What do you have to prove? And he's like, it's not about that. I won't be any good to anyone if I don't handle this right, but I need you, both of you. I'll beat him. She says, you better. Come on. Yeah. Win, Rocky. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. No, the win Rocky moment for me is when he's talking to fucking... when Creed is talking to Rock and Little Duke. Which is what they call him in the subtitles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Tim made a face, and I was like, I think that's what they call him in the subtitles.
Yeah, that's what they call him. Little Duke.
That moment of, like, well, we're going to Russia then. Like,
yep.
And fucking love it. Like, fucking A, all right, man. Like, God, dude, that movie's, that moment's so fucking hot.
He
man.
Says, I mean, this is the part, he's, they're like, we got to fight in Russia. And he goes, well, the judges are going to have a decided advantage there. It's all corrupt. And he's like, then we can't let it get to the judge's decision, right? And the Duke's like, I guess we're going to Russia.
Fuck, man.
Fucking great, right?
So hype.
Of course, Donnie wants to train tomorrow at Delphi, 5 a.m., but Rocky has other plans. He's like, you want to make a big change? You got to make a big change. We got to drive out to the middle of the desert where all of these old washed-up fighters are just fucking training like junkyard dogs, just fucking animals in the desert, and it's fucking awesome.
This was like John so Wick or something.
I love this. So intense. I don't understand how you guys could not like it. The only thing that I get that I'm like, eh, is it makes no sense. Like, who the fuck are these people? Yeah. What the fuck is happening?
Nomads.
But also, I don't want a backstory for them. I don't care. This was so damn cool. I love the way they did it. I love the music trading off between like the normal version and then like the Russian version of the theme. It was so fucking cool.
But also very much mirroring Rocky IV, right? Where Drago's training in like Victor's training in like a nice facility in Russia that's been set up by the state. And we saw that in Rocky IV when he's like running around that badass ballroom with a spotlight on him and like all the technology's there. Meanwhile, Rocky's training in the fucking Siberian like forest, right, with the snow everywhere and all that stuff.
Being surveilled by
by KGB operatives. And then, of course, here he's training in the desert. And he goes, look, man, I like this line, too. I wrote this down. Michael B. Jordan says, it looks like hell. And Rocky says, well, if you're going back to hell, you might as well get used to it, right? And off we go. And the music here is just inspired. It's just so good. We get the moment where he puts the tire down. And he's like, you're going to have to stand in this pocket and fight this guy. Which to me seems like the wrong strategy to fight someone who's much bigger than you, but I guess that's what they want to do.
I don't know. I guess we could do Monty for Monty, right? We're getting close to it.
Yeah, as well. Full Monty, baby. Let's go. Nacho.
I was waiting for Andy for to hit the Monty team.
I don't think I have a Monty team.
I don't remember.
Hey, you don't remember. All right, let's talk about Full Monty.
I don't watch your live, remember that?
It is the podcast within the podcast. We talk about the montages. The reason why Nick and I talked about it, that this doesn't work well, it's because it doesn't really, it feels very flat, like a desert, where it doesn't have any kind of elevation in terms of this montage. And the whole pop-off climax moment of this montage is him beating the other Mexican fighter in that tire, and making him submit with body shots. And it just didn't have that same gravitas like moment. And then they have that moment where he passes out in the middle of the road like a lizard, and then he gets back up. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's what you're going for. But there's just nothing to it. I feel like there's no soul behind it. And I feel like this is the first time in the movie, and I remember it the first time, I was like, yeah, this is corny. I mean, yes, montages from Rocky are corny.
How dare you?
But there's a soul behind those montages, and this one doesn't have a soul behind it. And it'd be different if he went back to Tijuana, to the same place where he fought. And this is like, you remember why you were a fighter? You fought in these places when you're 15-0. Let's go back to that place, because we actually, as an audience, have a connection to that place, not to this like Far Cry 5 type of place that you will run into as a side mission.
I mean,
that's the kind of vibe we get into for this one.
I thought he was just going to train in Siberia again. I thought they were going to have him training at some cold place in Russia. I thought it was going to be the same sort of thing from when Rocky trained over there. So it was like, okay, we're going to the opposite end of the spectrum of like hot desert.
That'd be sick if he was like, I know where to train, and then he goes to the same cabin. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fucking sick.
I think something that would have sort of been a little bit, like, to Sancho's point, like, just a little bit more important and integral to the sort of lore 100%. Of what was going on here, right?
Why?
In my brain, I'm like, my first instinct was not necessarily Siberia, which would have been fucking incredible also, but like, mixed gym. Take it back to where all this started, right? Something like that.
Take it back.
But either way, I mean, you could tell that the director was like, this is going to be some of the most stunning photography we do in this movie, because the scene where he is running and finally picks himself, he's like, get up, kid, and he picks himself up and he starts just hauling ass, and it's just him alone on the highway. Dude. And the music
like me
kicks
racing
in
Greg,
is just insanely perfect. It was.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it made me think of.
I love this montage. I just, my only question is the why. Why is it happening? Why, whatever. But I love what they did. Love the music. Love the cuts between the two. We got to rank it. Currently, the Full Monty looks like this. Tied at number one, we have Rocky 2 and 4. Then, somewhere between number 1 and 2, we have Creed 1. Then, number 2 is Rocky Balboa. Tied at number 3, we have Rocky 1 and 3. And then, Rocky 5 at number 4. I would put this personally tied with Rocky Balboa at number 2, underneath Number one's Rocky 2 and 4, and Creed 1.
I have the fortune and of looking at the list right here.
Yeah, that's easier. Can you tell me where to put this, Andy?
It's a lot easier for me. I would put this... I like the montage in Creed 1 more than this. So I would put this at number 2 underneath Creed 1.
Me too. Me too.
I'll put it there. That sounds good to me.
Thought so. No, you got outvoted.
No. Bro, y'all forgetting Rocky 3, dude? Which one? Missing thighs.
Oh my God, you're right. This has to go underneath that. He's right.
Thank you.
But I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because to our earlier point, thematically, him beating Creed in the race was him getting his spirit back, right? Was him being challenged by an opponent that he knew was greater and being able to beat him, showing him that he could. Them splashing each other, just sheer joy.
Jubilation, dude.
Just
jubilation is a good word.
You know, one day me and Andy are going to get in the ocean, we're going to slap. We're going to splash each other. It's going to be fun.
We can.
Okay. So I would put it a little bit lower too, but
Yeah, so then, you know, that we'll put the average then of, we'll just put it tied at number 3.
Okay.
Alongside Rocky 1 and Rocky 3.
Great, a lot of ties here. Fight night, Moscow, Russia. Creed is 25-1, but he's still the underdog because Drago's so fucking big. Drago walks the halls of the arena, and he hears fans calling his name for the first time. They pull the curtain aside as fireballs shoot up into the air. And he says, and then it's incredible. And then Rocky comes to Creed, who's waiting in the locker room by himself, and he says, it's time, kid. Time for the second, arguably first, dopest walkout of all time.
No, but first, Michael B. Jordan turns around. Sylvester Stallone's body disappears behind him. Like he was a ghost the whole time. Oh, my God.
The spirit of Mick reincarnated as Rocky. Man, this we've talked about this enough, but it can't be overstated. The thing going around the entire arena and stopping right above him, and then
the camera following.
Yeah, so fucking cool, almost like a lifeline for this arena. Dude. Really, really cool. Her coming out and singing, great. End of it is the only reason why I'd put this underneath the other one, because it kind of just piddles out.
Yeah.
I guess we're going up into the ring now.
All that stuff is always a bummer. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you need to stick the landing of the entrances to like, but it's like the best opening ever.
And then, of course,
what I'd say. Here's what I would pitch to Tim.
Mm-hmm.
We put a trampoline at the base of the ring,
jumps
Sankara. On it, cartwheels or front flips over. Mm-hmm. When he lands, fireworks as soon as he impacts a superhero landing.
I love it. And starts shotgunning beers.
Yeah.
Iron Man 2 when he lands.
Right, my
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great moment. Rocky Balboa and Ivan Drago sharing a ring for the first time in 30 years. Great line there. The bell rings, and man.
Hold on. The four of them in the ring.
Yeah.
Such a WWE moment. I fucking loved getting the whole, like, it's Rocky, it's Drago, it's Drago, it's Creed. Oh, my Lord. I'm fucking hyped. Let's go.
The bell rings, and Drago comes out swinging. Love that Donnie is in the Nomad shorts this time. Super cool.
Dude.
Never noticed that before.
So the whole fucking suit. He comes out a Sith fucking Lord. Mm-hmm. He looks so badass. I forgot to even bring that up, man. It is the Nomad.
Captain America, dude.
Yeah.
Straight up, dude.
It's the Nomad black and white American. God damn, it looks so good.
Clean.
And
so clean.
And Creed looks like a completely different fighter here, man. Yep. He is ducking, he's dodging, he's parrying, he's everything. Dude, he can't even see this guy.
His vocalizations throughout it where he's like, let's get it, that's what's up. Like, oh my God, it's so fucking cool.
Incredible. Drago tells Victor to swing, to drop him. Rocky gives Creed a strategy that his old man used to use. And it worked. Creed gets in trouble in the second and drop. I'm sorry. He gets in trouble in the second and drops to his knee. This time, though, of course, Drago shows restraint and manages to put him down before the end of the round. Rocky tells him to take the eight count. He's like, take the eight count, be smart. And instead of just popping back up, his ego subsides and he takes the eight count, gets back up.
Great.
And he says, you know, he's better. You knew this was going to be a war. It's going to come down to who has the biggest heart. You want to give pain. You got to take pain.
I want to say echo what Andy said. Like, everything about it, the cuts to the ringside, the ad-libs between – or the libs between Rocky and Drago, where Drago himself was like, hey, counter that. It was really cool, and I think it really added to the immersion to the entire experience. And we need to talk about in that first fight where Tessa's dressed like Adrian. Kind of she has a beret and everything.
All right.
She has the Adrian vibes. And then seeing, like – I like it that they're there in that fight in ringside versus like on a TV screen, because that really dampened everything that Adrian was doing when Rocky was fighting. But like the whole thing was just really well shot, really well done. And by far, I just enjoyed every single moment for it. And it felt like you were literally watching a sport on the TV screen.
These two fights were the only ones I've had in this whole interview series where I just don't have any notes. I'm like, this is perfect. Like, where the other ones, Rocky's getting punched every fucking millisecond, or, like, the camera work can be kind of wonky, or maybe it just doesn't seem super believable. This one, I think they just nail it. This is pitch perfect.
And one of the things I loved most about it is that everything you're saying, absolutely true, but I also loved there's, like, the WWE element of it, of the storytelling, of getting Rocky having that moment with him where he's just like, are we throwing in the towel? And he's like, no. He's like, I didn't think so. And, like, Rocky is supporting him, and then you get the Drago's mom walking away, and he throws in the towel, and Drago threw in the towel. Dude. It's like so fucking good, man.
I felt like I was watching a WWE match when, like, it's the perfect kind of, like, ending to this fight with everything else that has happened in these people's lives. It's perfect.
So it's time for some final fight hype, everybody. Mm-hmm. Currently, the list looks like this. Number one is Rocky Balboa, which I will say, fantastic fight in Rocky VI, the HBO presentation.
Love it.
Number two, Creed 1. Number three, Rocky 4. Rocky 2, Rocky 1, Rocky 3, Rocky 5. This is my number one.
This is my number one.
I'll actually put it at number one, too. I think you really feel the tension in this fight, and I feel like you really feel the stakes, and these two actors sell it. I think it's a really good fight.
Sancho?
I love Drago getting back up, even though he knows he's fucked. And he's been knocked down, and they're both absolutely just getting destroyed, and Creed's ribs are still fucked, and you see that moment where he gets back up, he does that dodge mode, like, dude, this is just the cool, this movie fucking rocks, man. Rocky.
I know my vote won't matter here, in a sense, in the scheme of things, but I just want to give a shout out to Rocky Balboa, because it had that moment where it played that gong right when he stands back up.
Oh yeah.
And the only thing this fight doesn't have it, but it has so much more. So I would have to agree that Creed 2's fight is overall hype, but I think it's just because from start to finish, and like I mentioned before, the button at the end of Stallone saying, "Hey, go ahead, it's your turn,"
and playing, like, the Rocky theme,
and the Rocky theme, and this one hits so hard, and it's so perfect,
so good.
Especially when he gets that first knockout. But I just think, like, there are a lot of moments in this fight that work out really well, and you guys mentioned it, the little things with Victor. But I think when Nick said that this humanizes him, this is the most. I feel sad for Victor at the end, because it's just, you know, he couldn't beat Creed for the first time. And that was very sad to see a Rocky opponent, or Rocky Oppo, to go through all that.
There you go. Of course, Rocky wins. Bianca gives him a hug. Over on the other side of the ring, Drago is completely just disappointed with himself, but his father tells him it's okay, because he finally gets
it. Great moment.
It's great moment. Because he's like, that moment can't be overstated with Drago, where he throws in the towel, because he finally realizes, like, holy shit, I'm pushing my kid to his death.
Yeah.
If I don't do something now, this kid's gonna fucking, like, have, it's gonna be bad.
It's like 2 a.m, I'm in bed, I'm like, throw in the towel, let's go! Like, oh man, it's so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a great moment, just a great moment there. Then we cut ahead. We talked about it a little bit, but I do want to say, I think the best moment in the movie is where Rocky, like, you know, gives him the pound, and he's like, you know, it's your time now.
Yeah.
And then he sits down as this beautiful shot of just Michael B. Jordan getting engulfed back into the chaos of, like, the post-fight celebration.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Dude, it's so good. And, like, I almost don't even want to invoke these words, but I'm going to.
Do it.
It feels like the best version of Luke Skywalker disappearing, sitting on that stupid rock. You know, where you see it, you're just like,
sure.
This is the end. This is the lake.
Kevin's in the control room.
Yeah, I can feel Kevin seething, and I mirror that energy. There I'm same energy.
Wow.
We'll move right along. Weeks later, Donnie heads to his father's grave to say hi. He's like, came here to tell you that I did it, but I didn't do it for you. So I did it because it was my fight, and when I stepped into that ring, it wasn't just about me. And then we're intercutting two scenes here where Rocky finally takes a much-deserved time off, and finally he gets to meet his grandson. He knocks on the door, and the kid answers. He's the cutest little kid ever. And then, of course, we see cameo by Milo Ventimiglia, who's like, oh, baby shit, Rocky. We got him back. And he says, you know, he tells his grandson, you look just like his mother. And he goes, and then Milo Ventimiglia goes, yeah, I know. It's really nice.
Dude, I was just crying by the end of this. When they hugged, like, it's just, Sylvester Stallone is just such a great actor that just gives off, like,
Yep.
Love.
Yeah.
And oh man, it's so good.
It's those moments as well that we saw where even when Michael B. Jordan tells him like you should have thrown a towel, you were remember in Rocky One, he was always like, yeah, well, he kind of like absorbs that pain and that suffering a lot of those early Rockies. And but man, what a like whoever wrote, like, I think Stallone wrote the screenplay for this, but the writing on this, it just makes so much sense. And what a perfect send off, because now he does, because you know, when my dad turned to a grandpa, he's a much better grandpa than dad, you know, to my kids. So to know that Rocky's character has a second, like a third, fourth life, so to speak, and that he now has a job to be not a trainer, not the best boxer, but the best grandpa. And like that, that's really cool just to make it, that's what it's all about at the end of the day, it's family. And to him to make that connection again, it's just, it's really cool because that's his final fight, so to speak.
And he gave the kid the ball.
The ball.
He gave the kid the fucking ball, man.
Can't wait to see a kid tossing up that ball in 20 years.
Still, where did he get half from? Of course, the last scene here is Apollo saying, or excuse me, Adonis saying, sometimes we think we have to do it all on our own, but we don't. And then he introduces his granddaughter to Apollo. And he says, this is your granddaughter, Amara. Say hi to Pop-Pop. And that is Creed 2.
That is so good. All right, now it's time for a thing I like to call Ragu Oppo.
Ragu.
Oppo.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk, the opponents of the Rocky / Creed series. Tim, where are we on the list?
So currently number one is Apollo Creed from Rocky 2.
So good.
And then Drago from Rocky 4. And then Creed from 1, Clubber Lang, Dixon, Tommy Gunn, Pretty Ricky from Creed coming in last place.
Tommy the Machine Gun.
Where do we put Drago 2? Victor.
You know, it didn't give much to play with here, but I like this character, and I think we did get him humanized a little bit. What was number three?
Number three is Creed from Apollo, from 1.
Creed from Apollo
Rocky 1.
Yeah, I would put him, and when what's 4?
4 is Clubber Lang.
I'd put him under Clubber Lang. I like Victor a lot, but man, you can't, I mean, as far as we're talking like bombasticness of bad guys here, the opponents.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. Think about Clubber Lang and how fucking horrible he was in that movie.
He's like, a comic book movie.
He was just a force to be reckoned with. We're gonna debate quality versus quantity in this.
There's a lot to go on. I get what you're saying. I think for me, it's more like, yes, he is just the opponent, but when you look at the Drago family and the way that they made Drago a cartoon villain, such a great sympathetic villain in this one.
Yeah.
I think it deserves more credit, man.
Where are you gonna put it?
I would put this above Drago.
Me too.
Wow.
At number
two. Wow, no. Oh,
so
no.
I said 50, and you said 100.
I would say he's above Clubber just because it's not just Victor, it's Victor and Drago. Like I put them together.
That's a good point.
A unit.
So that's a good point.
Together, they make a great opponent to Rocky and Creed because Rocky has to deal with like the death of Apollo and the stuff that he broke. That because the fear in Rocky's eyes when Drago shows up at the Italian restaurant, that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have to put like for Drago to save his son by throwing in the towel, the one thing that that you know we've talked about it. I think that just goes up a little bit about Clubber Lang. I mean, Grant Clubber's like, hey, Bobo, why don't you be with a real man?
Yeah, I'm
Clubber Lang is team.
Let's
Rocket.
Make a play here to rank this to kind of meet in a middle a little bit. What if it was a like number three? So under Doji Drago, but above Creed 1.
See, I think when you put it that way, though, when you put it the way you guys are kind of phrasing it, I actually would make a case this is better than the original Drago.
All right.
This might be two. I would just say, just because you're right, I forget that Drago is a character in this.
Yeah.
And he's a lot more complex, as is his son. So I would say maybe put it number two.
So it's number two, then. Drago and Drago. There we go.
Drago v. Drago.
And now it's time to rank the Rocky Creed cinematic universe. Currently number one, Rocky 2. Number two, Rocky Balboa. Number three, Rocky. Number four, Creed. Number five, Rocky 3. Rocky 4. And then Rocky 5 coming in at number 7.
This is number one for me.
Number one, baby!
With a bullet.
Oh, Sancho. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this?
I totally get why it's number one. And I see it's a very modern take on everything. And, you know, you can't... It feels like an Iron Man debate, you know. Do you have an MCU without Iron Man? do you have Rocky without Rocky 1? Like, do you have Creed 2 without Rocky 1? I would definitely have to put this, it's 2 at least. It's better than Rocky Balboa by a mile. I mean, Rocky Balboa had those moments. Remember, the whole thing about Rocky Balboa is the reason why the fight's happening is because there's a virtual simulation between Mason the Lion Dixon and Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, yep.
So it makes no sense for it. I mean, that's more of a Rocky, like, journey of him. Well, you guys still got this beast inside me and I want to get out, let out. And that was like such a great moment.
Did we make, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Did we make a reference earlier today of the girl from Rocky 2 being in something? Because wasn't she the woman in Rocky Balboa?
She was,
Was. She was the bartender.
Maureen, right?
Yeah. Hey, Maureen, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Sorry.
Fantastic. So to put the bow on everything, the reason why I would say is too, because it takes all these essential characters and Michael B. Jordan shines as well throughout all this. But I would say that if this is the last time we say goodbye to Rocky as a character in cinematic history, the way they did, I don't think they could do it any better than that.
Good point.
So I would have to put it better than Rocky Balboa because Little Marie and that kiss in that Vegas hallway.
Marie, that's
weird.
What it was.
Marie.
It
was weird, bro.
Hey, Marie.
Little Marie.
It was weird.
Nick, take us home.
I could go either way on this, honestly. I think a lot of my nostalgia for Rocky 2, and I love those moments, and I love that it really is the beginning of something great, or rather the culmination of something great. Here, we're really building upon that lore, and we're building on all those references, and we get, I think, a really good emotional punch at the end of this, and it is a Rocky movie at the end of the day. It's a Rocky and a Creed movie. So I could see, it's definitely above Rocky 6, Rocky Balboa. The question is it better than Rocky 2? That's a tough question, Tim.
It is a tough question. It is a tough question. My argument to you is that I think that the last, like, third of Rocky 2 is, like,
incredible.
But the rest of it's not that great.
You're right.
Whereas Creed 2, it's pretty goddamn great the entire time.
I'll tell you what, Tim. You won me over. I'll put it at number one.
We did it, baby! Creed is on top. I'm so excited about this. Creed 2 at number one. Here's the question. Will Creed 3 fall? A lot of things are being said. People are really hyped on this one.
Wait, really?
Really hyped
like
on it.
Like pre-reviews and shit?
Like really, really hyped on
shit.
It.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see.
Will we get all that? He's been talking a lot about being inspired by anime. Are we gonna get all the inner monologue taking a punch and be like, wow, he took that punch nothing.
I hope we do, Andy.
I don't want it.
I would love to. I did see one thing about it where they're talking about the anime fight inspiration, and he's like, there is a Dragon Ball Z punch in it, and I saw the clip of him getting like, it's the thing where he gets punched and he goes, oh, and you see like fucking sweat coming off his back. Like, this is gonna be incredible.
Oh no. Love it.
We'll have to wait and see. My sub question to that is, do you think Jonathan Majors shoots up to number one out of all the Rocky?
I think that he definitely has the chance, because right now Apollo Creed from Rocky 2 is number one. I think he could be beat.
I think this is going to be not only, I think maybe the story stuff may not be as strong as it can be, but it's going to be just straight up screen presence and acting from Jonathan Majors is going to have him at number one.
And we're probably going to have a couple scenes between the two, which would be nice and refreshing. Yep. You know, we never ever get two scenes, with the exception of Rocky and Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
They actually get to sit down and talk. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
I think, and then at the same time, I think the big drama will be Tessa's character. I think, you know, we already saw signs of her losing her hearing. I think maybe she's completely lost it, and we'll see some, you know, some ASL, things like
that. How old's the daughter?
A little bit today. Yeah, it's the same thing as well. Yeah, there's a lot of things on the line, and at the same time, we could all reflect on it together, because we're gonna watch it together.
We're gonna watch this movie together. Sancho West is flying up to San Francisco. He will be live right here in the spare bedroom for Creed 3 in review next Friday. I can't wait. Sancho, where can people find you?
You can find me at Sancho West on all things. And hey, on Tuesdays, twitch.tv/crown, we have a fun show called Multitude. Andy was on it. We had a great time. I'm going to try to get more of the kind of funny guys and gals on it. It's a fun time. It's a couch co-op type beat. It's really fun. Really fun and silly.
Hell yeah. Go check that out. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of Creed 2, how excited you are for Creed 3, and how into the Major Watch you are. You know, just let us know.
Major
Overwatch, Major Watch. Remember that? Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.